Welcome to Hot Marriage Cool Parents.
Coming at you live. Well, not really. It's recording.
Yeah, but it's one day before we're releasing it, and we like to record these. Usually we try to do it in advance, but sometimes now, I'm sure you've noticed, we have dropped it down to one recording each month, and we have launched our new private membership. It's on Patreon, and we're really, really excited about it because it's just a way to be able to get to know you a little bit more and be able to interact with you and all the fun things. Yeah. And it's really been great.
And we're really fortunate for our Patreon audience and just everybody that's stuck with us through everything, really. And that's what our podcast is really all about. We want to share our lives and hear more about yours.
Yeah. And so that being said, sharing our lives, something that like I really wanted to touch base on at the top of this episode is Hendrix's seizure. Because first and foremost, if I wasn't a nurse, I think that I don't know.
Freaked out more?
Yeah, I don't know what I would have done. But before we get into Hendrix's seizure, and for those of you who didn't know, yes, my son had a seizure. I was holding him when it happened. But also, I, thank goodness, you know, went to school to be a nurse, so I know exactly what to do. And the number one question that I got after I shared that he had a seizure was, oh my God, I'm a mom and I don't actually know what to do if that happened to my kid. And or just like everyone was like, can you please share with me, what do we do? So I'm going to share with you. Of course, you know, the nurse in me always wants to say, always talk to your doctor, but I'll share with you what we know what to do. But before we get there, talking about our private membership and being able to get to know our girlfriends who are part of it, Arcana 7179, she asked us a question, and I thought it was something relevant for the podcast. She was asking, what was the exact moment where you felt like you knew that Doug was the one and vice versa?
We got this question a lot, actually.
Yeah, people ask us this all the time, and the truth of the matter is, actually, Doug, I want you to answer it first, because I'm not sure when you knew that I was the one.
You know, coming up to our 6-month reunion, I don't know if you can still watch it, but it was a 6-month reunion and we were all together. It was the very first season. We were with Kevin Frazier, and it was the first time that I think Jamie really got real and said that she loved me. And that's really when I couldn't picture a life without her.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was just such a raw moment where I think your exact words were, I'm a tough cookie to love. And like, I had unquestionable love for you at that point. And I just felt like we were connected after that. And I couldn't imagine a life without you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
I don't know. I just feel like that's weird a little.
Not really. I think it's amazing that we have our first kiss on TV, or I should say filmed. We have the birth of our daughter filmed. We have the birth of our son filmed. We have really when we fell in love. And that's the moment that sticks out in my head is like when I knew and I didn't want to be with anybody else.
Really? It wasn't before that?
No. I mean, there was hints of it before that for sure. But I felt like we were finally an unstoppable team at that moment.
That's so wild to me because, like, the first time that I thought that I knew you, like, could be the one, I guess, was when we were on our honeymoon. And
that early, huh?
I mean, yeah.
All right.
I was like, wow, he's so patient and kind and generous and just, like, laid back and funny. And, you know, then when the sarcasm started rolling in, I was like, oh, wait a second. Maybe I should change my mind. No, I'm just kidding. But no, like, so I'm kind of surprised to hear you say
it was a little bit down the road.
What?
Yeah, well, I mean, you never really showed your cards about how you felt about me until then. Like, truly. You know, like, before then, it was like little hints, and you slipped up a couple times saying, like, oh, that's why I love you. I think we were at the Point Pleasant boardwalk when you said, and I was like, what? And you were like, oh, nothing. But that was like the first time where I was like, yeah, this is meant to be. You know, you finally said that you loved me. And that's when I like fully knew how you felt about me. Because you were, I don't know, it was almost like you would get, not scared, but you would get where it's just like, well, we may end up breaking up at some point.
Oh, I was totally scared. I was terrified that, you know, I was going to fall in love with you and then you wouldn't want me. Like, the tables would turn, because obviously when we first got married, you seemed very happy with me and happy to be married to me, and I was obviously more hesitant. And then my biggest fear was that I was finally going to start letting my guard down and, like, really letting you in, and then you were going to not want me and, like, reject me. And I was terrified of that for such a long time.
Yet you were relieved when I said early on that, Jamie, I'm not in love with you yet.
Yeah, I did like that. Well, that's because I felt less pressure for me to have to be in love with you too.
Right.
It was such a wild, the beginning of our relationship, it was just so weird because it was just all so backwards. Like, I didn't want to be rejected by you, but yeah, I didn't want the pressure of having to be like your quote unquote wife and be in love and pretend that we're like a normal married couple, because nothing about the way we got married was normal.
Yeah, I was fully on board with that. I enjoyed the weirdness because it was a story. I mean, it's our story. Nobody has that story, really.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think anybody has a love story like ours.
But everybody has their own love story.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
granted,
no, no.
You know,
of course.
You know, we went through something together that, you know, the odds were against us. The odds were against everybody on that show.
Yeah.
Even still, you know, like, it's, you know, there was nobody that thought that we were going to make it except for my grandma Dot.
Yeah, your grandma.
Nobody thought we were going to last. No one thought that we were going to make it. And it wasn't us trying to prove a point. I mean, maybe in some ways, you know, but that helped us build that togetherness, that helped us build a foundation, because it was really us against
everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah. It was us against the world. And it is shocking to look back, and I really feel like it was like divine destiny that we are soulmates. We are meant to be together.
Yeah. I mean, there was plenty of times that we both could have just threw in the towel, but we didn't.
Oh my gosh, so many times, but we're not even going to go down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give Betty Ryan a shout out because she left us a 5-star review.
Betty!
Yes, thank you. So she says, I love this podcast. I love listening to Doug and Jamie answer questions, and I love that they're real and honest about their ups and downs. I recently rewatched some of Married at First Sight, and Jamie's initial reaction only lasted a minute until Doug stole her heart. TV really played it up, but obviously Jamie was crazy about Doug very early on.
Goddamn right.
She goes, I look forward to the podcast episode. So curious about the new RV life and can't wait to hear all about it. So, Betty, speaking of the RV life.
Great segue.
Yes. Geesh. To be very, very honest, it is like a big piece of.
It's difficult to get comfortable.
It's like a big piece of pie that you like try shoving in your mouth all at once.
It's taken a while for it to feel like a home.
Yeah. The thing is the pie would taste really good if you had like one bite and you were able to go back and just have like little bites at a time and really enjoy it. But instead, we literally just like shove the whole pie in our mouth and are trying to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that is like exactly what it's like.
But I think that it has to be like this in order for us to really like it, you know, because we were set on just staying there for like a month and seeing how the month went. And I don't think that we could have made a determination or even felt like we made any progress in trying the RV life in just a month. Like, we needed to be in this place for way longer. We needed to have no backup plan in New Jersey. So we have to live there, because I think we're starting to get used to the RV life, or at least I am.
I was going to say, I wanted to ask you, because I've lived in trailers my whole life. So, like, living in a trailer, that part isn't, like, new to me. Like, this a lot of it reminds me of my childhood, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. Like, we ran out of propane once, and thankfully, like, Doug had another one to swap out immediately. But it reminded me, like, when we ran out of like gas all the time as kids, and like we'd wake up and the house was freezing, and my, you know, unfortunately my mom didn't have like a quick fix, you know, like the stove was electric, so she would turn the electric stove on to try to heat the house that way, which is also like very dangerous. But I mean, what do you do when it's like 10 degrees outside and you ran out of gas to heat your home for your kids?
Yeah.
You turn the stove on. What else are you gonna do? And so that's what my mom did, and then eventually I mean, then eventually it got real bad and she'd bring like kerosene heaters inside that are not supposed to be inside and super duper dangerous. Mm-hmm. But anyways, needless to say, a lot of it reminds me of my childhood. And of course, there are some like kind of sour memories like that, like a little harder to like relive, but there are a lot of really good memories too. Like, you know, having to share space. Like sometimes I don't even have my own bed. Like I have four siblings.
See, that's, I'm not used to that.
Yeah. And
that's different for me. That's completely different for me. I like my space. I like it, you know, not so much the escape, but I like to be able to like, feel like I could just stretch out and just be somewhere like downstairs on the couch. Like there's no downstairs on the couch. There's no bathroom that's out of, you know, out of the way for people to be able to hear you or you hear them.
Yeah. That's
like there's just no privacy, which is fine because it's just us. Like we're not sharing space with someone outside of our family, but we don't have any privacy.
Yeah, that's
as a husband
true.
And a wife, and it's really, really troubling. Like not troubling, but it's really annoying. It's starting to become like annoying.
Is it?
It is.
Well, that's good for me to know.
Yeah.
I almost think we got to have these podcasts weekly again, just because we never get sit down and have a talk like this. Yeah.
Well,
we never
have a chance to just sit in a car and talk for a half hour without, you know, I mean, we have to wait till the kids go to bed to have any sort of conversation.
And then Henley's sleeping with us, so then we can barely even talk in our own bed. These are all valid points.
Let me explain. Henley's been sleeping in our bed since the inception of the RV.
The inception?
Yeah, since we got into the RV, Henley's been sleeping in our bed. So, yeah. So that's it.
Yeah. So that makes it really difficult. And we thought we had a grand plan where the kids could sleep in their room together. We had this nice little bunk bed for Henley. I don't know if you saw my Instagram story for those of you listening. Like we set up this nice little like fort bunk bed thing for her.
She was excited about it for a minute.
Yeah, but she really can't get up and down that easily. And so
or safely.
Yeah. And I don't feel comfortable, you know, hoping that she just learns. Gets up and down. So we let her stay in our bed. So when we get back, we're on our way this week. By the time you hear this, we're going to be up to see my family to celebrate the holidays, which, by the way, quick update on baby Jamie. He's doing well. He has an MRI scheduled to make sure that the brain bleed is actually like dissipating. And, you know, he has to wear an eye patch because he definitely has blood accumulating. Well, it's still in the brain, but it's also still behind his eyes.
I think they're actually putting the eye patch on the good eye, though, to help strengthen the bad eye.
That's
because,
exactly it.
But there is less blood there, which I guess is good.
Of course that's good, yeah. So baby Jamie, for those of you who, you know, have been praying and thinking of them, I cannot thank you enough for putting my family and my nephew, my namesake, you know, just having him in your thoughts and prayers. Like it genuinely means the whole wide world to me. I really, really appreciate it. But yeah, so when we get back from our trip to go see, I haven't held him since he's been in the hospital. I cannot wait to hold that baby and give him the biggest kiss on the cheek. What?
That's not true.
That is true. Have I held him?
Yeah.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, we went up there. We went up there.
That's not true.
A couple of months ago. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they came by and we got a chance to hold him and hug him and play with him. And
that's true. I was going to say, I thought, because we had that Airbnb.
Yeah, we went up there.
Okay, well, that's true. I feel like I haven't held him, though, or hugged him. I feel like I haven't hugged or held any of my family, for that matter.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And it's also my other nephew's first birthday and my niece's birthday. And so we're doing lots of fun things with my family, celebrating, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, sledding, because it's really snowy up there, which is exciting. But then when we come back, I'm hoping to get the kids' room. Like, I'm hoping to get, like, a futon sofa for Henley, and I'm hoping to convert that top bunk to, like, a safe crib for Hendrix. That way we can maybe get our bed back, because I don't want us to become bitter with each other, or
I don't think we become bitter. It's just, it's like
we're
it's,
separating.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's yeah, it's just weird that we don't have our own privacy.
Yeah, and we definitely haven't been intimate at all.
No.
Like, not even, we can't even, like, cuddle, because Henley likes to sleep in between us.
Yeah.
So we haven't even, like, been cuddling together, which
she was sound asleep, and I moved her
last
while she
night.
Was sound asleep. I moved her over to the side. No, it was the other night.
Oh.
I moved her over to one side of the bed, and I sat, and I laid in the middle so I could spoon with my wife. And she immediately woke up and cried and climbed over me to go in between us.
Yeah. So to be honest, now I feel like she's starting to get used to sleeping with us, which is really not okay. Like,
well, that's why I keep hinting to her that she's getting her own room. She's going to have her own bed.
Yeah.
She's got to go back to sleeping in her own bed. And because she's been with us for a while, she is used to it, but she's also got to get used to knowing that she's eventually going to have to go back to her own bed.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. Because
so if anybody has any tips on that, if you had a co-sleeping kid that you were able to break, let us know. We'd love to hear from you because we are looking for any and all tips.
Yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is a part of me loves it, and I'm like, she's only going to be four for so long, and soon she's not going to want to be in our bed. But
yeah, but then Hendrix gets in our
no.
bed.
Like, oh my gosh!
Yeah, like I was never, ever, ever a fan of the kids sleeping in the bed ever. Like even in our Jackson house, like I would refuse to bring the kids in bed. There was very select few times,
yeah,
where I let them sleep in our bed just because I don't want that. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I never really understood where you were coming from with that because I was like, well, I always slept with my mom and that always is how I felt the safest. Like I was very scared of the dark and I was very scared. I mean, granted, my stepdad was like coming home drunk and high and like beating my mom like without. So like, I think that, but like, I was very scared of the dark and stuff. And I never felt secure unless I was either sleeping with one of my siblings or my mother. Like, I never wanted to sleep alone. And I also, but that's just the way I grew up too. Like, I never really had my own bed for, you know, sometimes. And so I just remember when my mom would let me sleep with her or my siblings would let me sleep with them, it made me feel so comforted. And I just was so thankful. And I don't ever want our daughter to go to sleep like scared or, but I guess that's just the real world. I don't know. Yeah, we definitely could use some tips. So if you have any tips, let us know because, you know, the whole idea behind this all is, of course, to like minimize and get rid of all the clutter. We were, you know, wanting to sell that our Jersey home anyways. And so it was just the market was hot and moving into the RV just made sense because we plan on buying a home on the water in Florida. And so we wouldn't want to buy another home immediately in New Jersey and then, you know,
go down to Florida, you know.
Yeah, we've just honestly what's happened, I feel like, in our life, to be very transparent and honest, is that we have began like collecting things. I don't know, like we accumulated too much stuff and it really took the joy out of us just living. Like, I don't know. Does that make sense to you, Doug?
No.
No? Okay. Like, what I mean by that, because I know I'm not really explaining this well. What I mean by that is that, you know, we bought a home in New Jersey and it was very big. It was on an acre of land. It's like far more than what we really need. And then I always want to escape the cold winters. And so then we go and we buy a house in Florida and it's very modest, but still we now have a house in Florida and a house in New Jersey and we have to maintain all of it. We have to take care of all of it. Plus our kids are going to start school. So we're trying to like, you know, juggle where are we going to, you know, have our daughter be enrolled in school. And just inevitably, you know, since we bought a house in Florida, we had to buy a car in Florida. And so now we have a car in Florida. I mean, we've collected too much stuff. And I get that some people who are like crazy wealthy can manage it and handle it and they enjoy that. But like, instead of it being enjoyable having, and this is so first world problems and the girl from the trailer park is fully aware of that. But what I'm saying though, is instead of it being enjoyable, like you think that you would want a house in Florida and a house in New Jersey. You think that you would want a car down in Florida and two up in New Jersey. But the truth of the matter is that caused so much stress and anxiety for me, like trying to make sure that our home is safe and taken care of whenever we're not there. And I am fully aware this is first world problems. And also, I don't necessarily, like, I don't want to have two homes like that. And so how did we get on this?
We're talking about moving, collecting too many things.
Yeah. So needless to say,
is why we went to an RV.
And I'm really, that whole idea behind going to the RV was that we were going to kind of get rid of all the extra stress, like get rid of that huge house in New Jersey and all the responsibilities that came with it and be able to spend more time as family, be able to be husband and wife and like it may be adventure if we can hack it. Like the idea is that we rented a plot of land in a park so that we could A, renovate it so we could make it our own and make it comfortable, which we are doing right
now.
Yeah,
we're in the private. And that's, I mean, that's
And that is fun. Yeah. But B, the idea was that we were going to, I would envision like more game nights and more like cuddling on the couch watching TV or like something like that.
And then
that.
We threw our couch away.
Yeah. And now we don't even have a couch. Okay. Yeah. So needless to say, that's a whole lot of what's going on with the RV life.
Yeah.
I feel like
we're finding our stride is what she's trying to say.
Yeah.
And I don't think we took into consideration that it was going to be super duper cold and, you know, you really can't do a lot of outdoor stuff. Like, it was so great being across from a playground. Like, we thought we would be there every day, but by the time the kids get home, it's dark by 5 and, you know, you're trying to scramble to get dinner ready and you don't know where the pots and pans are. And, you know, there's a counter that's a mess, but then it gets cleaned. And then honestly,
2 seconds later,
like you can spend a whole entire night cleaning. And by the morning, by the time the kids are ready to go to school, the house is just as messy. Or the RV is just as messy. And I think having a bigger house made it feel less messy, but we're finding our stride and we are renovating. And so the mess is, we know, is going to be there. And yeah, we're going to go up to New York. We're going to spend time with that side of the family. And when we get back, we do have a wall to put up. We have flooring that's going to be going in. We're going to get a lot of stuff done as soon as we get back. And
super excited. Yeah, but on this car ride going up to see my family, I for sure packed our KiwiCo crate. And I don't know if you listening have ever heard of KiwiCo, but with
that was a lifesaver for me when Jamie went away to Film Unfiltered. It was an absolute lifesaver because these KiwiCo boxes, they get sent out to the kids. They're age appropriate. They have different levels. And it's just fun things that you can put together. You can problem solve. It comes with a book. The kids get to figure the things out for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better to me than gifting something to my niece or nephew that they're actually going to learn but also enjoy, quote unquote, playing with. The cool thing about KiwiCo crates is that you get to choose exactly which age group you want, and it's all hands-on learning. And it's so funny because we gifted one to our nephew and
loved
for his birthday.
Yeah.
He loved it, but my sister-in-law was like, so this is something that I'm going to have to, this is like another project I have to do. And fortunately, she was telling us, she was so surprised because my nephew Mason, he just like went for it. He was so into putting this project together himself.
But I remember using it for Henley when she was 2 years old, and they have things about emotion, and the whole idea is really watching your kids' confidence grow when they accomplish things in this KiwiCo box, and that's really the best part. And KiwiCo gives them the tools to learn new skills, build new experiences, and make new connections, really.
Yeah, it's awesome. So if you want, your child can get super cool hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered right to your front door every single month. There is no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime.
So yeah, so this holiday season, give the gift of a fun, hands-on holiday experience with KiwiCo. You get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate with the code HMCP at KiwiCo.com.
Yeah, that's 50% off your very first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code HMCP. All right, and I got to tell you about Girlfriend Collective, too, because they have these best-selling leggings. They are squat-proof, which I think is super, super important because you know how, like, if you bend over and your underwear hangs out, or if you're not wearing underwear, your butt cheeks are hanging out? That is, like, my biggest pet peeve in
I can't
leggings.
Tell you how many pictures I have of Jamie in leggings where you can see her thong.
This is like way back before I knew, before I got married, I didn't have a husband to be like, hey, you can see your underwear when you bend over. And I was mortified. I remember this vividly. It was our 6 month anniversary. We were in Central Park riding bikes and he could see my underwear. So anyways, I love that Girlfriend Collective, they have squat proof leggings. And they come with pockets. They have different levels of support, which, you know, if you want like compression action, you can have it. Tuck in those love handles. Or if you want softness, you can. They have that too. So whether you're working out, running errands, or doing nothing at all, Girlfriend Collective has functional fabrics, colors, and styles for any level of activity.
And their sizing is fully inclusive. It goes from extra, extra small to 6XL. And I know that Jamie loves them. So you can join the collective today. Feel good about what you buy and comfortable in what you wear.
Yeah, so for you listening, Girlfriend Collective is offering $25 off your purchase of $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/hotmarriage.
That's $25 off $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/hotmarriage. girlfriend.com/hotmarriage.
I highly recommend the compression ones. I mean, they're like so good for tucking it all in.
And talking about feeling good, let's talk about smelling good.
Yeah.
Because Jamie has been using Native deodorant for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she loves it. I know it smells great. And I can never get enough about how amazing Jamie's armpit smells.
You're so funny. Honestly, I just really care about what I put in and on my body, but I also don't want to stink. And it's really hard to find a good deodorant that's aluminum free where you're not going to stink. But Native, they have such great scents and it actually works. So like they created products with simple ingredients like shea butter and coconut oil, but also they have like these different holiday scents that come around. So like right now they have candy cane, sugar cookie, fresh mistletoe. And I honestly just, I love the fact that I know that it's not, I'm not putting chemicals on my skin, but I can also still smell good.
And Native's all about self-care and stay merry and happy this holiday season. You will love Native's limited time seasonal products as much as Jamie does. Just go to nativedeodorant.com and use the code HMCP. You get 20% off your first purchase at checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com. Promo code HMCP for 20% off.
That's nativedeodorant.com. The code's HMCP for 20% off. So you know how much I love a good mystery, and I love this new game. It's called June's Journey, and you can actually be the star playing along with June Parker, and she investigates a series of mysteries throughout this.
And what's really cool about it is there's new chapters that they add every week, so there's always a new case waiting to be cracked. Jamie is obsessed with finding hidden clues, searching and solving a mystery after mystery, and going across thousands of vivid scenes.
Yeah, so if you're like me and you just crave a good mystery, then you will absolutely love June's Journey. I love to play it when I'm waiting in the airport for hours on end. I get so into it that I basically can't put it down when it comes time for boarding.
And this game already has 30 million downloads. It's full of hidden clues, so you can put your powers of observation to the test, and the game actually makes you have to rely on your own memory.
All right, so are you ready to awaken your inner detective? Download June's Journey today for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. All right, so speaking about those long waits in the airport, well, I think the big elephant in the room that we haven't talked about yet, of course I said that we were going to talk about seizures, and I'm still going to talk about Hendrix's seizure and what you should do if your child or someone around you has one. But before we get to that, since we were just talking about being in the airport, and this is like when I would play June's Journey, I would typically be flying out to LA because I host the show Married at First Sight Unfiltered. And I found out from a cast member, actually, someone from last season, that I had been replaced as the host of Married at First Sight Unfiltered. So that was very, very alarming and surprising because, well, of course, I thought I would have found out from like my producer or like the network or, you know, someone.
Would have said, hey, this is coming up. And
yeah. And I'm
looking to go in a different direction.
Yeah. I mean, I've been the host of Married at First Sight Unfiltered since the very first season,
yeah.
10 seasons ago.
You created Unfiltered in a sense.
Well, no.
I mean, you were the first host and you lasted 10 seasons, which I think is really, really admirable. And, you know, it's something that you should really be proud of.
Well, thank you. I am really proud of it. But I was honestly hurt that I found out from someone from last season's Married at First Sight. He reached out to me and said, hey, are you hosting this season? Because, you know, that he's like talking to someone on this current season that's coming out. And he's like, you're not in LA and they're shooting Unfiltered and what's going on? And I'm like, good question. What is going on? And I have to reach out to the producer myself. And it just really hurt, you know? And that's the thing with the TV world, to be very, very honest, is that when you're hot, and they'll call you and blow up your phone and you're very important to them and they respect you and love you. But when you're not, you're not, and you will hear crickets.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So like when you hear about like the drug of Hollywood and how like actors get stuck in like, you know, this fame cycle and whatnot, I mean, or like even reality stars for that matter, like, you know, you get like 15 minutes of fame on television, and it really is kind of like a drug. Like,
yeah.
And it's not so much that like you crave all this attention. It's like
you're wanted.
Yeah. You're respected. You're treated like kindly.
And you're needed.
Yeah.
And you provide entertainment and a service, and you feel like you are important.
Yes, exactly. And so I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, because I'm definitely not, but like therapy has helped me immensely with this. But like, I'm okay. And I think that like the way that I grew up, you know, not really like never knowing who my father was, always trying to like fight one of my four siblings for attention from my mother, who was also off on drug binges, so she didn't really want to pay attention to any of us anyways. I always craved love, acceptance, you know, just a sense of being needed and like wanted. And without a doubt, Unfiltered, I felt needed and wanted in that role, because I felt like, you know, I was the only host. I am the only person from season one who is able to do something like that. So, you know, my husband and I have been on this show for as long as it's ever been around. And, you know, so needless to say, I did have all these things within that show. And also, hosting is just a passion of mine anyways. Like, I absolutely love being able to sit down and talk to people and just have open and honest conversations and really learn about them and their lives. And, you know, just you can gain so much by just listening to what someone has to say. And like, every single person you meet has a story to tell, and you can learn something from them. I truly believe that with all my heart. So needless to say, you know, obviously, you know, for the past 7.5 years since I've been married to my husband, 8 years really, we've either been on TV, been like shooting for a TV show, preparing to shoot for a TV show. And a lot of that for me was also simultaneously shooting for Unfiltered. And, you know, I really enjoyed having my own quote unquote TV show on Lifetime, especially as like this trailer.
Yeah, it really
girl.
Was your own show.
Yeah. And so then, and this is the thing, is that nothing's ever your own, mm-hmm. you know? And so I felt like a bit of ownership to it, and I just felt a bit like that was mine. But the thing with television is it's not yours. It wasn't mine, and it can be ripped away from you as fast as ever. And mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people have reached out and said, is it because you gained weight? And
that's,
you know,
weird.
Yeah. Or, you know, and I can,
yes, that's the reason.
Well, you know, that's Hollywood for you.
Yeah.
In a big sense of the world. And I don't know that that's why. I have, you know, I really don't have any reason why they said they wanted to, you know, switch paths. And truthfully, I'm not bitter. And I think the only thing that would have made me bitter is the fact that I just felt hurt and rejected, of course, you know, and that I had to hear about it. I mean, I felt so disrespected that I heard about it from a cast member. Like,
yeah, you almost want there to be something that you did.
Yeah.
You never want to hear that, you know, we were just taking a new direction.
And honestly, that's what I said to, when I had a conversation with them, I was like, well, first of all, thanks for giving me 10 minutes to chat about this. I appreciate that. That feels better. Thank you. But also, you know, I'm all about like constructive criticism and having an open mind. And, you know, if I did something wrong, or if I, you know, if I could improve in some way, please let me know, because I want to do better. I want to be better. And you never will become better if you just, you know, think that you already know everything that there is to know. I know that I have a lot to learn. And so needless to say, I, you know, had asked them, and they were like, well, no, we're just going a different direction. And
it was really healthy of you.
Thanks. But I'll just literally credit therapy for that, because, you know, we've been working on that with our couples therapist. But needless to say, that's, you know, part of Unfiltered. I never really shared any bit of the behind the scenes of how I found out that I'm no longer the Unfiltered host. And I wanted to be able to share it with you first myself. So I did share, of course, on Instagram. But it's kind of hard to talk about this type of a thing via text on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love about the podcast. And it's also what I really love about Patreon is that we're able to get a little bit closer. And thank God we have this podcast and we do have Patreon where I can actually openly talk about these things and not have to worry about, I don't know, like it being misconstrued or
taken out of text or context.
And, exactly.
You know, the sign though from, I don't even know where, the weekend that Jamie would have been flying out to LA to film Unfiltered is the weekend that Hendrix had a terrible fever and had a seizure.
So this is wild. And, you know, I said at the beginning of the episode that I really believe in like destiny and I believe that in like fate. And I know that like we don't get to have a say in it. Like I really believe in God as well. And so there's so many things that tell me that I'm not supposed to be the host of Unfiltered anymore. And one was that I wasn't like, as much as I absolutely love hosting, I no longer felt passionate about Unfiltered. There are a few things. First of all, like some of the marriages are just so difficult to get behind, and it hurts my heart to see some people being hurt so badly, and then for me to just sit there and kind of have to always play devil's advocate. It's very difficult for me. And so, as you can imagine, someone from a previous season, I just like have zero respect for him. He was so abusive, quite frankly, to one of the wives. And so, you know, the production do not take a stand for that. Like they are not okay with that. No one's okay with that. But like, it was still difficult for me to be in that position as a host. So that was something that was kind of a sign that maybe you should no longer host the show. But then another thing, like Doug said, so the seizure with Hendrix. So this is what happened. The night that I would usually be in LA, I would be flying out to LA, it was a Friday. And our typical like shoots would go like Friday, I fly out. And then Saturday we spend 12 plus hours shooting the show. And then Sunday I would fly home. So Friday night I'm going to bed. And this is the same weekend that I'm supposed to be in LA. And I hear Hendrix moaning on the monitor. And we had a little tiny episode of Hendrix moaning. And then by the time we got into his room, this was back when we lived in our house, and Hendrix had RSV, which we didn't know that. And we didn't know that, you know, he would have febrile seizures. So he was moaning on the monitor. I go in there. He had vomited by the time I went in there. And when I picked him up, he was just so limp and his eyes were kind of rolling to the back of his head. And it was just such bizarre behavior that we called my in-laws and we almost called 911. And yeah, we were like, we got to take him to the hospital. Like something is off with him. Like this is just not normal behavior. We didn't realize that was actually the aftermath of a seizure. And so, you know, we ended up taking them to the ER the next day because his temperature was just he gets such bad fevers, like 104.7 was his highest. And I was like, man, I don't feel comfortable with my baby being this feverish. So we took him to the ER. And to be very honest, the ER doctor was like, I'll quote him. He said, I've never admitted a baby for a fever before.
Almost like we should have known.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so I get that bringing your baby to the hospital for a fever is, but I'm like, but my baby was not acting like my baby. And that's a really high fever and we couldn't get it down fast enough. And, and needless to say, like as a nurse, I would never say that to a patient, you know, like, no.
The nurse that came in after was just like, listen, however you feel, if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel like there's a situation that you're just not comfortable with, come into the hospital. We will see you and tell you. Just don't just not come because there's a fever.
Yeah.
You know, she kind of like put him in his place, but it was almost like, you know, we were just like, yeah, well, he was kind of like just looking off into the distance, not making eye contact. We would lift his arm and it would just fall down. And he was just like moaning, just hot. Yeah. And he's like, it sounds like he probably had a seizure. And we were like, what?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it happens with newborns. I mean, they just have seizures.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, toddlers have seizures all the time after having fevers. And I
didn't know that.
Well, none of my nieces and nephews ever have. And
none of my nieces or nephews have either.
Yeah. And, you know, our daughter never did. So no. We were just kind of like dumbfounded by it. Needless to say, so that Friday night that
you keep saying needless to say.
Okay, sorry. So that Friday night when I'm supposed to be in LA, I hear Hendrix moan. And that triggers something in me because the last time I heard him moan, you know, I found him like limp with vomit mm-hmm. all over himself. And so it triggers something in me. So I scream to Doug in the RV, which really isn't, you don't have to scream too loud because everybody can hear everything. Mm. But I was like, Doug, will you check on Hendrix? Because I heard him moaning and Doug goes, yeah, I was just in there. He's fine. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I went back to sleep because I was like in the middle of a sleep. And this is where you should always trust your mother's instinct because my gut instinct was to tell Doug, no, like go check on him. I just heard him moaning. But instead I was like, oh, you know, I guess he knows what's going on.
Well, I had just put him down and this was after we gave him some medicine.
But we hadn't given him medicine. No, because he wasn't Doug. We had never No, because he didn't even have a fever when we put him down. We had decorated the Christmas tree the whole entire day. Like, we hung out all night. He was having
issues.
Fine.
He was having issues waking up or going to sleep, wasn't he?
No, he was completely fine going to sleep. As a matter of fact, I put him to sleep that night. He wasn't hot. We were decorating the Christmas tree. Everything was fine. And then, you know, at midnight, he's been down for a few hours at that point, and I had fallen asleep, and I wake up, and you're thinking he's fine, that I'm probably just being paranoid.
Because I woke up, gave him a bottle, and put him down.
What do you mean you woke up? You were already awake. What are you talking about?
Well, he woke up, and I gave him a bottle and put him back down.
Oh, okay. Anyways, so I should have trusted my instincts, and I should have been like, Doug, no, look at him. Like, touch him. But, you know, didn't do that. And so then I go to sleep. I wake up again at 3:30 in the morning and I was like, let me just go check on him. And if I was to just peek in, then he would have looked fine because he was sleeping in his crib. Everything looked fine. But I was like, gosh, like something about him. Like I just want to touch him. So I went in and touched him and he was on fire. He was so incredibly hot. I was like, oh my gosh, like our baby has such a bad fever. And so I like grabbed him, of course, and went into Doug and was like, Doug, help me get him Motrin real fast. And like, I couldn't find the thermometer because we were like renovating this RV and we just moved in.
We didn't have a thermometer, I don't think, anywhere in there.
Well, it might should have been be somewhere. In there. Yeah. We definitely have one, but we couldn't find it in like the area that I thought I put it. But then again, like the homes for everything right now are like still being established because we've only lived there for like a month. So needless to say, we didn't have a thermometer. I couldn't check the actual temperature, but I knew that he was like super hot. And so I was like, let's just give him Motrin. And that's what we did. And then I woke up again. We did that. Didn't think a whole lot of it. You know, babies get fevers. Mm-hmm. He's teething. There's many reasons that he could have it. Put him back to bed. Wake up at 8:00 in the morning and I go in to check on him. And again, he is on fire. He is just so hot. And at this point, I was like, okay, let me take off his clothes. So I like took off his clothes, left him in his onesie, gave him medicine again. And I went to our bed and laid on the bed with Henley. And I was just starting to take a video for Patreon, to be honest. Like I was taking a video just to like show our Patreon followers, like kind of like what our morning routine is and what the RV looks like. And so I had my phone right handy there. I turned off the video and I was just kind of cuddling with Hendrix because he laid his head down on me as if he was going to go to sleep again. And I was like, that's odd. Mm-hmm. And that's when it happened. Like he started seizing and thank God I knew what that was because it is the scariest thing when you see your child like tense up, their eyes go to the back of their head, they're no longer breathing, and they're just like really, really stiffening up
and shaking.
And it's very, very terrifying when you see that, especially like, you know, whether you're holding your child, whether your child is, you know, in a crib, God forbid, you know, your child's actually standing up and then they just collapse and they fall and hit whatever because their body starts to stiffen up and tense up.
They have no control.
And they have no control. They usually like urinate or, you know, they could even poo during a seizure. And so Hendrix and I were just playing. We were just playing on the bed and then he like put his head down. I thought he was like going to sleep. Turns out he's actually having a seizure. He did throw up a little bit. They'll throw up. Sometimes they can throw up as well while they're having the seizure. And I thought to myself, I need to video this because the doctor did not, like, he really poo-pooed me when I went to the ER last. And they really didn't, you know, they really, I mean, this is like a, it seemed like a really big deal to me. I mean, if you saw,
And they always ask you how long it was.
Yes, they
ask. Like, that's super important.
Yeah, you're supposed to measure how long it was. And so there was two reasons that I grabbed my phone and took a video. A, I'm never going to remember what time it was or how long it was. Like, there just wasn't a chance. B, the doctor was poo-pooing, you know, what was happening at home, what they couldn't see. And so I was like, I want to show this doctor that my son is actually having having a seizure, like a real seizure. Like, it's not just something. Like, it was a real seizure. And I want to know that that's actually, you know, okay, because you're telling me this is common in toddlers, mm-hmm. but this doesn't feel common to me.
No.
And so, needless to say, I took the video, and
we had after that we called 911 just because we didn't know what else to do, and then we actually canceled 911, but they still ended up coming. And at this time, Jamie had gotten her clothes off and went into the tub with him, because that was really even when we went into the hospital, they said what you can do is you have the medicine, but to really get the temperature down, you could run like a lukewarm bath or just like a cold bath that'll get their temperature down, put cold rags under their arms, on their back or their neck or their forehead, which we did. And then we were able to schedule an appointment with his pediatrician, and we brought the video in. And, you know, what was not comforting, but it was kind of like it made it seem more normal, was even with the pediatrician watching the video, she wasn't like freaked out. She was just like, yeah, this is what happened. And it happens in kids. And, you know, if it happens again like this severe within the same 24-hour period, then yes, then it's something that could be funky. But something like this, when he gets a fever, you know, for next time to try to just get it under control. And from here moving forward, you have to just stay regimented and make sure you follow the Motrin and the Tylenol schedule and set alarms for it, which we did. And, you know, he's been fine. And, you know, after a week of not being in school, by the end of that week, he was like, he didn't have a cough. He didn't have a runny nose. He didn't have just like green things like popping out of his nose and trying to lick it. I mean, he was happy, running, smiling, screaming, and just really, really, it was good to kind of see him come to. And, you know, that's where we are now.
Yeah, no. And so, needless to say, sorry I said that again. To kind of wrap it all up, we... Leave me alone,
Just Doug. Say it again. Long story short. Anyway.
I genuinely want to share tips of what you're supposed to do if your child has a seizure, or if you know somebody who's had a seizure or is having a seizure, because, you know, this can happen to literally anybody. And it's scary if you don't know what to do. Thank God I went to nursing school, so I just happened to know, you know, to not like try to like get him, like, don't shake him. Don't try to get him to breathe. Don't move them. Just let the seizure run its course. And so that's exactly what you want to do.
Make sure they're comfortable.
Something
in their mouth if they're older.
Yeah. So if you're going to go to cdc.gov, which is a very reputable site where you you could actually, like, I would recommend taking their advice. They actually say that you don't have to call 911 if you know that someone's having a seizure. And actually, you only call if one or more of these are true. So the person has never had a seizure before, the person's having difficulty breathing or having difficulty waking up after the seizure. If the seizure lasts longer than 5 minutes, absolutely call 911. The person has another seizure soon after the first one. So if they're having like repeated seizures, you're definitely going to want to call 911. If the person gets hurt during the seizure, that's a no-brainer. Of course you call 911. If it happens in water, again, of course call 911. Or if the person has like a health condition like diabetes or heart disease, or if they're pregnant, then you're going to want to call 911. But, you know, the general things that you want to do if someone's having a seizure is you're just going to want to stay with the person until the seizure ends or until he or she is fully awake. So, and also you're going to want to try to keep track of how long the seizure is lasting, because the doctors are going to want to know that. But yeah, so stay with the person until they're fully awake. And after it ends, you can help the person sit up in a safe place. And then once they're alert and able to communicate, you can tell them what happened in very simple terms, because, you know, a child, they're going to be like a little confused about why they're like on the floor instead of like up, you know, I don't know, kicking the ball or whatever. Or if it's an elderly person, again, very confused because they're not aware of what's going on while the seizure is happening. So you're going to want to comfort the person and speak calmly to them. You're going to want to check to see if they're wearing like a medical bracelet or any sort of emergency information. But if it's your baby, then all you want to do is you just want to make sure that they have loose clothing on, that there's no restrictive like hoodies or anything around their neck that could like choke them as they're seizing. You're going to want to make sure that they're either laying like on their sides or down, so that way if they do vomit, they're not going to like choke on their vomit. And you're literally just going to like make sure the baby's safe while they're seizing, and try to keep track of the time. And not for nothing, but if you have doctors who don't necessarily believe what's happening, take a video of it and don't be scared to show that to your doctor and say, this is what happened to my baby. Because I think that, you know, the best advocate for our children is us. Like, there's no one that's going to care more or rally harder for our children than their mamas. So like, don't be embarrassed or shy or ashamed. And I know that's easier said than done, because like I said, when we went to the ER, I was so like almost like walked in almost shamefully, like already knowing, just because, you know, as a nurse, I know that like they talk about the parents who are overly worried that bring their kid in for a fever. But it's like, no, you know your baby best, and don't let anybody's judgment like stop you from getting the best treatment or even just peace of mind. So that being said, that is a whole wrap-up update of what's going on in the Hayner house.
Happy November.
Yes. It's actually December 1st, yeah. Tomorrow. So there's that. And yeah, we're so excited for those of you who are already on Patreon, then you're listening to this episode without any ads. Congratulations. But for those of you who want to hear our episodes in the future with no ads, but also you want like behind the scenes videos of our lives that we don't share anyplace else, and you want like, you know, updates on what's going on first. And if you just want to be able to hang with us, we have a free platform called Discord where we actually get to like just chat and engage. And like, you know, our girlfriends can actually chat and engage with each other. Not even like sometimes, I mean, these girls are like making friends amongst each other, which is so cool. So needless to say, if you want to come join our girlfriend community, go to patreon.com/hangingwiththehayners. And also we're sharing everything on YouTube as well. And of course there you don't have to like subscribe or anything of that nature. But thank you so much for, again, all of your love and support. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll keep you posted on whether or not we'll be doing 4 episodes a month like we used to, or if we might just stick to this 1 episode a month. And we would actually really love your feedback. So let us know if you're liking the 1 month, or 1 per month, or if you'd like us to go back to the 4 episodes a month. I've gotten a few messages already kind of like, hey, where are the episodes? But we really just needed the break, to be honest.
Yeah, especially over the holidays. And
yeah.
Don't forget that you can send us your questions also, whether it's a direct message or just email us. And we always like to pick out a question or two to talk about on the podcast.
Yes. So, and of course, if you're on Patreon, we will absolutely be answering your questions from Discord. So we will talk to you guys soon. I hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you before
and
that.
Happy holiday, Hanukkah, whatever.
Happy Hanukkah. And whichever holiday you celebrate, we wish you the very merriest season. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to you soon. We love you guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.